This week on your Old School RuneScape update, Trailblazer Reloaded has landed, and it's in a league of its own. We discuss regions, relics, and plans that have gone out the window. What does this say about the importance of choice, restrictions, and pacing? This is the Old School RuneScape Update, Episode 3, recorded Saturday, November 18, 2023, Blazing Through RuneScape. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of the Old School RuneScape Update. Sirion and myself are here this week, and you know, people might be wondering what's going on in Old School RuneScape this week. Is there something new? Why are there so many people playing this game? Why is that, Sirion?
Yeah. Leagues. Oh, I think they might have broken an all-time player record.
They did. Which is definitely saying something. Years after Old School RuneScape came out.
Oh yeah, and I'm seeing so many people in our clan who are normally RSV players just peeking their head in and trying to hand at the Old School variety.
Yeah, that's what I said. But you know, more on that in a minute. In case you're wondering what you found here, you found the Old School RuneScape update podcast that talks about Old School RuneScape in a weekly fashion, where we talk about what we've been doing. We talk about the update of the week, and of course what that means for the game of Old School RuneScape, and that of course is League. If you want more about this show, you can find us on our website at update.show/OS. We also have a friends chat at Bits Bytes, and our Discord is update.show/Discord. And of course, Sirion and myself can be found in game. He is just Sirion. He has no numbers in his name. Spelt with a C-I-R-E-O-N. I spelt that right, speaking it out. And I am Shane12088. I have numbers. He does not, so that makes his name superior. But nonetheless, I got asked a question this week with somebody seeing that I was spending a lot of time on Old School. What is a league? And, you know... And before this week, I had, you know, a general idea of what we were going in to expect with this week. And the thing that I think the listeners will come away with at the end of this podcast episode is that most of what I had planned kind of went out the window once I got into the game this week. I don't know. Do you want to go first and talk about your first step into this temporary game mode, Trailblazer Reloaded, or do you want me to? Because I feel like we might have similar perspectives. We might have same perspectives, and it's going to be an interesting compare and contrast exercise.
Yeah, I can give it a start. Yeah, I mean, the first few steps, I mean, it takes you to, like, the tutorial, but you immediately get to choose a relic. I went for Trickster. That was sort of pre-planned, and I started pickpocketing, like, the first man that I saw, and oh my goodness, it was ridiculous.
It's only a preview of what's to come.
It was only a preview of what was to come, but I blazed through those... Not trails, levels.
You could say you were blazing. You were blazing the trail.
Yeah, no, exactly.
And that's the whole point of it.
It's very overwhelming. I think if you've never played Old School before, it is very overwhelming. Especially since there are, I mean, how many tasks are there in total? Over 1,000, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
It is so many things that you can do and follow and chase. And, you know, in the beginning, whatever you do, it ticks off, like, a task and you're all good. But at some point, you need to start chasing them. And the choice paralysis is real. And that never really goes away. And that's basically it.
That's basically your first hour in the game, and you know, realizing that the choices you make when it comes to relic, the choices you make when it comes to which regions you unlock after the first free two, is that you're locked into these. And, you know, this is something that immediately came up with this, is that this is a game mode that is made up on these, you know, choices that you make that you can't go back on, right? Which is not something we see that often in RuneScape. Most oftentimes in RuneScape, and old school RuneScape in particular, both games, you're given a choice. And when you make that choice, you, at some point later on down the path, are going to be given the opportunity to come back and pick up what you missed. Not in Trailblazer Reloaded. Nuh-uh. Your area that you pick, you're locked in. Your relics that you pick, that you're locked in. And I messaged you when you were going to choose a region or relic. I forget which one it was. I said, think very carefully about this. Yeah. Because I'd made some decisions that I was questioning, and I made some decisions that I changed up in the, you know, in the heat of the moment, that I was actually really pleased that I did. And I think what it comes down to at the end of the day, when you have all these choices, this menu of choices put in front of you, is that you're in effect with this game mode being put on a path to, that I want to say, experience the end game content for one thing, because, you know, there are already people running around with 99s and doing all sorts of bosses out there. But at the same time, you're also, you know, working and ticking off that task list to earn those points that, you know, you're hopefully going to want to spend on something at the end when this is all said and done. And yeah, it brings up a very good point, I think. And it's something that I, you know, struggled with even into this week. It's what are you playing leagues for? Are you playing leagues for the competitive aspect of chasing score? Are you playing leagues for the aspect of experiencing new things that you might not have experienced in old school RuneScape? Are you playing it just to, you know, play the achievement game in a very fast and very gratifying way? Because, you know, whenever you tick off a task or achievement, you get that little dopamine hit, and that's what makes everybody smile. Or are you doing it to just, you know, play out some power fantasy? And that's the thing I had not settled on coming into Wednesday this week, is that I didn't particularly know what I wanted out of this game mode. All I knew is that I you know, wanted to experience a bit of, you know, rapid paced farming, and eventually get to the point where I'm going to be hopefully killing Nex at the end of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I knew going in. I didn't know where I was going to go. I didn't know, except for the first couple relics until the night before, what I was going to go for. And because of that, it really raised a lot of questions when actually getting in there. Am I making the right choice? And it comes back to what you said. Oh, it's choice paralysis, that you don't know if you're gonna make that right choice. And if you actually want to do that, to the point where I've let some relics actually sit for a couple hours while I was running around doing tasks while I was making up my final mind. I don't know if you were in a similar boat.
I've done that with areas. I've not done it with relics, because the passive benefits, I kind of want them as quickly as possible. So for me, like the relics, I tried locking those in the moment I could, really. But areas, yeah, like my first area choice, took a while for me to lock that one in. That was a scary one.
What did you go with?
Kandarin.
Kandarin. Okay, yeah. That's an interesting choice.
Yeah, no, I went there for like the general utility, and I haven't regretted it. You know, with Trickster,
Ardoin, I was very quick. Ardoin, Ardoin
is exactly, like, the money there is ridiculous. It's really good. Good, a lot of good points, easy points to pick up there as well. As well as, you know, accessible farming patches, the Gnome Stronghold, the Waterfall quest, Fight Arena quest.
Oh, did you do Waterfall?
I did do Waterfall. I haven't done Fight Arena yet.
Okay, and And that 8x XP multiplier is looking pretty good then.
Yeah, I did it with only... is it 8 or 5? I think it's only 5. I'm not sure what I'm at actually right now.
The tier 2 relic unlocks the 8x multiplier.
Okay, yes, with 8. Yeah, that it boosted me up to 50 attack and strength, which I had hardly gotten any XP in.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing. I didn't choose Kandor, and so I don't have that option. So I'm sitting at around level 20 attack and strength right now.
No, but like the thing is, what I really like about these choices is, right, like you can come at them from two different ways. You can come at them at all the things you can't do, right? Oh, yeah. I can't.
Yeah.
Like there's definitely moments. Oh, I need a bunch of coal. Oh, I would really like to have the model out mine. Oh, I want to, you know, do this. Oh, that's in Ascania. Like I want the bone crossbow. I need Ascania for a lost tribe, you know? Like I can always find something I can't do. But the fun for me comes in when you flip that question on its head, right? Okay. I need to achieve this thing. I want to achieve this thing. How can I do it? You know, what are sort of the workarounds that you might not normally use to do these things? And this to me is where game knowledge comes in.
Right.
Yeah. Right? I guess so yeah. Many things where like I've been doing things and using content that I otherwise would never touch, right? But it just makes sense doing it in the context of, well, you don't have access to everything. And I love this puzzle element of leagues. That's what I love so much about it. Like it's Trailblazer is such a good name on this that like just going in the moment and I've been using text files actually to keep track of, okay, I want to achieve this, what do I
need?
Oh,
interesting. Okay.
And how can I sort of work around the restrictions? And I mean, first of all, I want to say, I think they nailed the level of restriction. I think they said this on the stream as well. Like, they could have added another region, but a lot of the decisions would become trivial, right? Like, for me, for example, giving me one extra region would instantly solve all my problems. I would know almost certainly what I would go for.
Right.
And now I need to drop one, right? I need to drop one. And it's the same with the relics. I sense, but they nailed it in that I don't think there are bad choices.
And that's actually something that I was talking with some other people as well about, specifically in regards to relic design. Those decisions in terms of game design and where the relics land in particular is that exact conversation that I had. Because if you look at the tier 1, tier 2, tier 3 relics all the way up to tier 5 where I was looking at with this person, is that we were commenting on this and there's really not a bad decision to take. It's not as though any of the relics are bad. It's just a different question of how you want to get around. Like for example, I came into this thing knowing I wanted Trickster because I knew I would need farming seeds to begin with, and
that's not been a problem.
No, it hasn't been a problem. It hasn't been a problem. But the other options being Production Prodigy, which of course focuses on crafting, smithing, herb lore, fletching, and cooking. Okay, that might be interesting. Mm-hmm. And then Endless Harvest, focused around the gathering skills in terms of resources for that.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was going to be a question. Okay, well, what do I want to focus on? And what else is there later on down the path? And this is where I got into some of my specific choices with these relics, is that initially I was thinking Fairy's Flight for tier 2, but instead I went Globetrotter because granted, yes, you know, any fairy ring, any spirit tree, any tool leprechaun. Yes, very, very nice. But at the same time, you just sometimes cannot beat the utility of a free teleport to house or a free teleport to Varrock. So that was one of those changes I mentioned that I made in the heat of the moment with gameplay. Is that, yeah, we're going Globetrotter instead of Fairy's Flight.
Just put a spirit tree in your house, you're done. No.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's very interesting. I went with Fairy's Flight, and there have been moments where I've regretted that choice. I'm like, oh, getting to Ardoin is a pain. Like, there's no good option to get to Central Ardoin, right? Like, it's either the farm or the spirit tree, but it's always a little bit of a walk. Same with Draenor, right? Like, I always have to run from the Wizard's Tower to Draenor, which feels like a very opposite world like kind of thing. But then there's been moments where, you know, I very recently got the farming level to start doing tree runs. That quick.
Boom, 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 out of the way.
Boom, boom, boom. I can either go mid-growth and just prune the deceased trees. Like, even that is doable now because you're there, right, in a moment. Like, I use the Varrock and Lumbridge teleport, like two leprechaun teleports, quite a lot in normal use because they're my city teleports, basically. Tree is sake. Let me just prune it so it's not dead, at least. And that's been really great. And that's what I like. These relic choices, you can get stuck in, right? And you can figure out, what do I want to do? Plot out an entire strategy, make like long plans. I'm always try seeing it as like a cyclical thing, right? Like,
yeah,
sure. I will think about what a relic unlocks for me, but in general, I'll pick it based on the one or two things it unlocks for me right now that I want to do right now. And then it becomes a cyclical thing. Okay, now that I have this relic, what can I do, right? Like, so it also informs not just, like, what I want to do doesn't necessarily involve my relic choice, but my relic choice also informs what I want to do.
Yeah.
And that is great. And what I was saying earlier with this puzzle aspect and trying to sort of work with what you have instead of against, right? It makes me think of a genre of games, but that's not quite right. It's I've talked about this on the main show. Well, I say main show on the RS3 show, I should say. Oh, don't say that. Which is randomizers. So randomizers are mods on games where basically it's typically like games where you collect a lot of items. So like Zelda games are very famous, but Metroidvanias work really well as well, where all the items are shuffled. So one, it relies a lot of game knowledge, and two, you really need to work with what you have, which sometimes, or actually often, requires you to do things you wouldn't do if you were speedrunning the game, or just playing through the game normally, right? Like, all of a sudden you go to areas backwards or in the wrong order, and you have to sort of double dip dungeons or that kind of stuff. Leagues feels the same to me, right? Like, it's forcing me to be much more on my feet, make decisions in the moment, figure out what I can do with the options I have, and just, I love it.
Or, you know, using that same method and instead saying, this is the end goal. Okay, normally I would do this way. We got to get here in an entirely different way instead around the path. And that's what I was mentioning at the start about how, you know, there's multiple ways to play this. And the way you're describing here right now, I think is a fifth or sixth way in addition to what I highlighted. Because, you know, you and I both noticed this, is that in the week and a bit running up to the launch here of Leagues, we were getting tons and tons of videos on YouTube and social media about, you know, take this path. This is going to, you know, get you on the fastest path to, you know, fighting whatever boss, so on and so forth. Right. And, and yeah, you can do that. And, you know, that's fine. But I also think, and this goes to what you say, is that if you do something like that, you're not in effect getting that same randomizer element that you just described, because you're just using leaks to get on the fast track to something else that somebody else has already theory crafted along the way. And, you know, looking at all the different tasks and all the different options that are available, this has had me thinking that, you know, we have a list of tasks, we have a list of, you know, skilling options that you do to complete these tasks. Maybe there's some way that somebody at some point could just say, you know, this is the most efficient way to get to X, and, you know, have some sort of script or algorithm write that down instead. I'm sure somebody will come up with that eventually. But I think the thing that we smile about at the end of the day here, and what this has really shown us, is that there's just so many ways you can play Trailblazer Reloaded. Yeah.
So this is a question I want to ask you, actually. Like, we've been talking about sort of this puzzle aspect for a bit now, and how the leaks restrictions come into play. You and I both haven't really played an Iron Man character. How do you find that? Like, I chose to do parts of RS3, for example, sort of soft Iron Man, right? Where I'm like, take a skill, and it's sort of a self-imposed restriction, but I've never been an Iron Man. And I feel that I'm enjoying it a lot, actually. Again, trying to find that path towards what I need in the moment. How do you find that?
If I'm being 100% honest, I don't know that I would pick up an Iron Man myself after playing this game mode. I know I had considered it once upon a time in the past. I don't think it's for me, because, and, you know, maybe this would change with time. Maybe, you know, you get thrown into the wilderness for a month and a bit. Who knows? You might have a different opinion on this. The first reaction is, you know, where do I go and buy, you know, steel armor? And then eventually that question becomes, where do I go and buy rune armor? And then you realize that, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, this sort of thing is now going to be something that you're either going to need to source from a store, or you're going to need to make yourself. And I think it is something.
Sorry, I'm laughing because just before the show, I tried getting a water talisman, and I went about like 80 kills dry on a wizard drop.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's
like a 1 in 40 drop. Like, yeah,
I'm looking at that. I looked at that 2 days ago on my task list, and I was thinking that's got to be one of the easiest things to do. And I'm like, okay, water talisman. Where does this come from? Oh, it's a boss thing that has RNG behind it. I'm not going to do that right now.
Wizards are not so bad. And you can also go to the Abyssal Plane. That's not so bad if you have decent combat stats.
Yeah, because that was designed, the Abyss was designed to, you know, be the talisman printer for the common ones then. But I don't think Trailblazer would work without people being Iron Man.
Oh, absolutely not. And what I really like is, yes, you are OP with the relics, but that fixes a lot of the pacing.
Bingo.
For me.
Yes.
I don't mind doing doing a whole bunch of these things, but I don't want to sit there and grind forever to do something. And I enjoy the fact that it's selective, right? I can't be good at everything at the same time, though, you know, even my production skills are fast enough to train, right? Even though I didn't pick.
Oh yeah, 50 wood cutting, 50 fletching in no time. Oh yeah, especially once you get banker's note going, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. I have not even used the full potential of that, I think, but yeah. So the pacing really fixes it for me. I don't mind. Like, I would like to have the option of the GE when I really need it.
But
I've always been in the mindset of, if I can do it myself, I'll do it myself.
And this raises a question. Would you, after this, play an Iron Man either on old school or RS3?
I'd consider it. I mean, I have a character that is an Iron Man. It's just doesn't have membership because I don't have enough time to play two accounts.
Right, fair.
I would definitely consider it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And see, for me, this has pushed me into the opposite thing. But you know, maybe I'll have a different answer by the time.
Do you mind it though? Like, do you mind it?
No, because Trailblazer, like you said, makes it so that the issues of being an Iron Man really aren't there, because, you know, you could literally just camp yourself for a few hours in front of a tree and have 60, you know, fletching from, you know, level 15, and then use that combined with Banker's, and you're golden, right? And same mm-hmm. thing with runecrafting and Banker's Note. Camp yourself at the Essence Mine.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then after that, go to whichever rune altars the highest you can do, Banker's Note, and you're golden. So mm-hmm. I think Iron Man is a necessity here, and it doesn't make it an issue once you start to see the ways you can work around that. And that was, if I'm going to be 100% honest, that was one of the things that was most off-putting to me in the first day, until I realized that and, you know, started getting that power dial creeping up substantially.
Mm.
So, and who, like I said, who knows? Maybe by the end of it, I would have a different answer when it comes to that question. And I also, I think following from that discussion of these skills, it really, I think, is going to be an interesting exercise. What's your highest stat right now, out of curiosity?
88 thieving.
88 thieving. Okay.
Yeah, that's the trickster and counter in combination.
Yeah. And do you feel like with that trickster plus thieving and, you know, just camping out wherever, that thieving in effect was taken off the menu as a skill here, in that you don't really need to worry about it, and it just becomes something else you can use, you know, similar to a hatchet or a hammer?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. And I use it a lot for, like, I mean, it's my main source of money.
Right.
And that's really the only reason. It's also a really good source of points, right? Because it's a quick skill to get to 90 and 99, hopefully. Unlock that next. Because that's sort of, I mean, we haven't really talked about that yet, and maybe we will in a bit. But that's sort of my, I have like a goal, a sort of milestone ahead of me in mind, and I need the points. So,
Okay.
You know, having a few things you're really good at, so you can sort of cherry pick
and
some of these hard tasks,
and that's the whole reason why you have that first relic power. And from that regard, maybe we made a mistake going for trickster, because, you know, there's going to be people out there who say, well, you could instead have a, you know, an endless supply of fish or wood, right? Whereas what trickster has given us, like you said, is a huge amount of thieving. It has,
and money.
It has also allowed you, I don't know if you've capitalized on this, you're a fire-making fan, I don't know if you've capitalized on the burning logs feature of it.
Oh, a little bit. I love that. Just, that's, like, my inner pyromaniac has been satisfied with that. It's just so satisfying to surround yourself with fires. Love it. Also, I have it home. My mind to gather up like a whole bunch of logs, and then with Banker's Notes and a tinderbox, just set the G on fire or something like
that.
Yeah,
you just gotta wait for them to burn out, because I think you could probably do that faster than they would burn out. We agility is also not a problem for us with the Sage's Grief that also comes with
Trickster.
And, you know, we already had infinite run energy, but we have, in effect, chosen to make these skills primarily agility, thieving, and fire making non-factors for us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're probably going to be some of the first skills that we get to 99 capitalizing on that. I'm still going to try and get 99 farming first, just so I can have an untrimmed farming cape in leagues. I think I definitely want to do that. But the whole macro point I'm getting to with this, in terms of, you know, taking one skill off the table, or maybe even four in this case, is it goes to show how important balance is in the game to ensure that our skills remain skills. Because imagine if, you know, the balance of some skill went out the window and all of a sudden you're able to blink and get 99 with it. That skill, instead of becoming a skill push, becomes a utility that you're just able to use.
Yeah. I mean, leagues needs to do that.
Though, yes, it does. Right?
Like,
it
I does, think it there's does, so does. Many skills, and even with the XP multiplier, I think the skill multiplier shouldn't go that much bigger, right? Like, it's already very fast and overwhelming, and I think they struck a good balance with it. Like, I think it takes a good amount of time to get 99.
Oh yeah,
but
I mean,
it's not unattainable.
Right. It's tier 5 still, that's times 12, and tier 7 that's times 16. So it's not, you know.
Yeah, I do, however, feel that, you know, having a few skills just taken off the table, as, you know, you don't have to worry about them, they'll train themselves, it's good, because it allows you to refocus on something.
Yes.
And do the things. Like, I wanted to get 99 fire making untrimmed. I probably still could, but thieving is so quick and so convenient. I wasn't gonna bother with dropping my skill cape each time I got a new one anyway.
Yeah.
Because that's too much effort.
Yeah, fair enough. And I mean, hey, if you did go thieving, there's the option of having that one, you know, untrimmed if you really wanted to do that as well. But
yeah, but it's only for the duration of 8 weeks.
Right. And I mean, with that, does it matter? And is it something you want to show off? And that, again, goes to the whole choose your own adventure kind of thing that we see with leagues. Mm. Because if you really wanted to, you could go for something untrimmed and then eventually, you know, max out all your skills and then just take something to 200 mil for the hell of it. And granted, you don't need to do that for the points. You don't need to do that for anything in leagues, but you could if you wanted to.
Yeah, I think 50 mil in a skill is the highest.
That's as far as you need to go.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, one quarter of 200. So
yeah. Yeah, I mean, you have Ascania, you could go for a max cape.
Exactly, I could, but like you said, 8 weeks, why, right?
Yeah, and we haven't really been talking about what you've been doing. We sort of talked about what I've been doing and went on a mass attention.
No, it's largely the same. You know, you sit down, you determine where you think you want to go, and for me, the first thought was that, okay, well, you know, following from Mystalin and Karamja, the next logical step is Asgarnia, because it's right next door. And, you know, based on, you know, just some of the tasks that are available there versus other places, I was, after I chose Asgarnia, questioning if I should have went for Corrin second, mainly for the skilling options that are available there. But I feel like there's a wider breadth of skilling available in Corrent compared to Asgarnia, because if you look at Asgarnia, lots of the tasks and things on the menu there are, of course, going to be focused around God Wars Dungeon in the end. It's going to be focused around the Taverly Dungeon and things surrounding Berthorpe and whatnot that you're able to do. So in many ways, farming those early task points and farming those early task completions to just push us on to, you know, the next area number two, area unlock number two. After that, I'm questioning if Asgarnia was the right choice for that, because the sense that I'm getting with that is that I've in essence been pushed to become a more all-rounder than if I had just gone with Corrent at first, which, I mean, is fine. I'm going to get there eventually, but it just becomes about, you know, where the dice lands and working with the cards that you're given on that. And I'm not too fussed about it. I think it's a good, you know, starting experience, and I'm playing quintessential old school RuneScape at this point with what's available to me. And what I have in effect been building my playstyle on is I've just been, you know, sorting the task list based on easy to hard and looking at what I have the requirements for, and in effect zeroing out that task list until the tasks become too difficult that I don't want to do them, or I need to go and train skills to do more tasks. And that's how my game has gone for the first 2-3 days or so, is just playing around that task list, which I guess is perhaps a little bit different compared to what you said, because you've been largely goal-oriented around getting to a specific area.
A little bit. Yeah. Like, I try to be a little bit goal-oriented. I mean, I do things anyway for, like, the heck of it. But, yeah, no, I try to put, like, little minor goals that I work towards. Work a little bit around quests and all that as well that I want to do. And, yeah, no, that's it, really. It's not too different, but...
No. And I think I already mentioned this earlier in the show, and I am so glad that I chose Globetrotter over Fairy's Flight, and I think that's going to be the lesson going forward here, is that have an idea down of what I want to do, but once I get close to the unlock and get the unlock, take a minute and think, what am I immediately doing next? What's going to help? And, you know, ultimately, what region do I want to go to next? What relic do I want to use? And that's been one of my big takeaways with this so far in leagues this week. And that leads to opening of doors. And one thing that I found that really opened a ton of doors is combat training. And until yesterday, I was running around as a level 4.
Oh, same thing. I waited until I got my combat relic until I even... I mean, at some point I was like, oh, let's do Imp Catcher for that juicy magic experience. I started killing three imps. I'm like, what am I even doing? Like, I'm going to be so much more efficient at that in a short while. But this is at the same time, this is also the danger, right? Yep. There's so many things where I'm like, oh, if I wait until I have...
You go down a rabbit hole.
I can do this more efficient. Oh, but if I can wait until I have that, I can do this more efficient.
Hang on, pause. All of a sudden, pause. That's the whole game of RuneScape, though.
Yeah, but like, the problem is, at some point, you have excluded everything because everything gets more efficient over time, right? And that's sort of where I need to stop myself and be like, okay, we need to do some things a little bit less efficient right now. Until we get to a point where we can actually unlock those relics. So, I mean, I think it would be good for us to talk a little bit about, you know, maybe where we're at and what our goal is. So for me...
I actually just wanted to ask you that.
Yeah, no. For me, I just unlocked the bronze rank. So that means I've just unlocked to 2,500 points.
Woo!
My current goal is getting the tier 5 relics. The reason I really want the tier 5 relic is partly because that's going to be Treasure Seeker for me. I'm almost set on it.
Interesting. Okay.
Yes. I've been saving up a whole bunch of clue scrolls already. I'm going to be going at those like mad when I unlock them. So that's that.
And there's also a copious amount of tasks that have clues in them, too.
Exactly. But the main thing we're getting with Tier 5 as passives is the XP multiplier goes up, but the minigame points boost go up by 5 times. And I'm only 10 tasks away from unlocking the next area, which is going to be Corrant for me, with that lovely favor system. So for me, getting those sort of together
is
what I'm really aiming towards. Like, that's where the whole thing starts coming together. Starting with sort of getting the levels for Wintertoad, the Farming Guild, the Woodcutting Guild. That's when things are going to speed up.
Really kick into high gear. For me. What combat relic did you go with?
Archer's Embrace.
Okay. I'm 95% certain I'm going ranged as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's fun. If you go ranged, by the way, you should definitely do Lost Tribe and get that bone crossbow.
Yeah, Asgardia unlocked there.
Because that's the fastest speed crossbow, and I think it gets you like a 2-tick weapon with that relic. Like it's super fast.
Yeah. I really like the way the look of the ranged relic here, but there's just this little bit that's just sitting there, saying, are you sure you want to go that? And maybe you want to go Superior Sorcerer instead and go magic?
I think I've already decided that in a future relic, I'd love to go magic. There's a lot of fun stuff there, but I feel if you go for the magic relic, you have to take desert for ancient spells.
Bingo. And that's what I wanted to go, and that's what I wanted to say next in terms of area. In that my areas initially were planned to be Asgardia, Kandarin, and Zaya. But I'm not thinking I need Kandarin now. So what I'm thinking of doing is
missing out on some of the juicy. Oh yeah. If you take the desert. Were you gonna say desert?
I was thinking of going desert instead of Kandarin on that.
I could do the blackjacking, of course.
Yeah.
With Trickster, yeah, that's gonna be really good as well, right. I'm sure.
So and you know, with that, with desert, you also open up the staff from Desert Treasure and just other magic options with that. So it's a question of which way I want to go. And that's that 5% that's just sitting there, and I'm going to need to make that decision soon. So as soon as the podcast is done today, it's going to be getting to that combat relic for me and making that decision. And then I think I'm about 20-odd tasks away from my next region as well, and then just working through that list.
Exciting.
So that's where I'm at. And you know, it's these changes. It's going to be this one that's going to be a hard decision to make, ranged.
Oh, but the next one is going to be hard again and again.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I feel like, I mean, maybe you kind of already tipped that on my head, because I was honestly thinking Infernal Gathering for tier 5.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But I don't know. Clue scrolls have always been a bane of my existence, and you know, maybe, you know, just running through them with Treasure Seeker would be a good thing here. But that's a problem for future me here. Another reason I didn't go with Fairy's Flight in the beginning is that a Farmer's Fortune became clear the day before, so it's like, I'll just get my seeds and sit at the farming guild and do farming like that.
That it's Farmer's Fortune is tier
6.
What tier is it?
Six.
Yeah, that's that. I know, but I'm in the beginning, the relics come really fast, but it's really slowed down for me right now.
Yeah.
I still see
getting to at least 6 relatively decent once, you know, get the second region going and get more powerful in terms of the combat and whatnot.
Right.
So and that's the thing. There is no going back here. And in many ways, I think that's the antidote to something that RuneScape needs. And old school RuneScape needs. And, you know, I just want to be clear at this point. I'm going to say RuneScape on this podcast. I'm talking about old school RuneScape because that's what we're playing with here. So let's just get that out in front here, that when I say what RuneScape means, I mean what old school RuneScape needs, is that it's just nice to have a decision that actually means something at the end of the day sometimes in here, in that you can't just have everything.
Yeah. I mean, I think at this point it's been ingrained in the culture of RuneScape that eventually you'll get everything. Yeah. And I don't think that will ever change. And I love the fact that because it's only for 8 weeks, right, we can afford this. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I'd love to see what some of the internal game design folks have been saying and what they've learned just from the data that's come in from, you know, not this just this league, but all the ones that have come before it. In terms of, you know, what interactions exist and which ones they might not have thought of, and which ones are supercharged in leagues but aren't in the main game, so on and so forth. With
no,
that.
And otherwise, you know, I think they nailed it. Like most of these tiers, you know, I've seen people telling me like, oh, you know, all the other tiers and all the other relics in this tier are bad, this is the best one, but I've heard people arguing like that for multiple relics in the same tier in most of the cases, right? So I think it really depends what you're going for, what fits your niche, what fits your use case, and that is commendable.
Yeah, and like I said, I don't think there's a bad relic choice. It just comes down to how you want to play the game. It's not like, you know, one is going to severely hobble you. So
correct.
And I hope that what this has done, and I think this is the last thing I want to say here before we say goodbye for the week, is that a lot of people aim to play leagues with the most efficient mindset out there. And that might be me if they do another one that's different. But with this one, I just wanted to use this as a way of experiencing more of old school. Because, you know, I'm still severely mid-leveled in old school. Some skills are still even under level 30. So with that, for me, this is going to be a wonderful opportunity to just throw myself into the deep end, relearn the old school combat systems so that I don't get thrown around by quest bosses like I talked about last week, and that at the end of the day, I have some idea in general about what's on the way in the future, except not in quests, because we like doing quests without spoilers in most cases. But that's a topic for another show, folks.
Yeah, I mean, if this were not my first league, I would probably have been taking a very different approach. I agree.
I think
in general, given where we're at, I think it is good to not take it all too seriously and to cut ourselves some slack for being an inefficient at times, because it's all about having fun, right? It's only for 8 weeks. Unless you want to sink so much time into it that you actually get like on the leaderboards, who cares, right? Like,
yeah, totally.
How much is it worth for you? Like, what would need to be the reward for you to spend 8 weeks completely focused on meta gaming the heck out of leagues? For me, no. I'm happy with just messing along, making mistakes, doing stupid decisions, as long as I have fun. And I think there might be a few rare combinations of decisions that can really screw you over, but probably you're fine and you're going to have fun.
Oh, that's a build idea. Start up a fresh leagues account and figure out the best way to make it so that you have a hard time. And then with that, try and compete. I'm sure somebody out there is doing that. It's the RuneScape community, folks. If you can think that somebody's doing it, as we know, but
yeah,
nonetheless, of course, that pretty much brings us to the end of this edition of the old school RuneScape update. Sirion and I will be back for another episode next week. Anything you'd like to say before we head off?
No, come join us if you haven't tried it yet. Even if you don't play that much, I think you can get a lot of fun out of it, just like the first few bits.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't say, though, that it's something for... Would you say that it would be a good way for somebody to try OS who hasn't tried OS before? This will be the last question, and we'll put this question out to the community as well.
I think it is not bad if you intend to only do this and then never look at old school again. If you're curious, but you don't see yourself ever playing the full game. If you do see yourself playing the full game, it's very overwhelming, I feel. It is like so much relies on game knowledge, and like I have the wiki open at all times.
Oh, yeah. Right? I got three tabs open doing this episode.
And if that's your thing, then by all means do it, but yeah.
In any case, let us know what you think. If you think that somebody should try leagues who hasn't tried old school before, but nonetheless, old school RuneScape update arrives every Sunday. If you want it delivered automatically to you, the best way to do that is to subscribe. Update.show/OS. Click the link to your favorite podcast listener out there. We're on Apple, Spotify, Pocket Cast, and more, and also on YouTube at youtube.com/OSRS update. And with that being said, we'll see you guys next week for another episode of the Old School RuneScape update. Take care, everyone. See you then.
Bye.